We're live?
We're live.
Welcome
in TV land.
What episode is this?
One.
205.
Welcome to episode 205.
Welcome to episode one. That's what Brian said, and I believe him.
We won!
Brian would never lie to me.
No, we're not winners. Brian. Where we talk about things and stuff.
With the things?
Hey, trolls are in CID. Do we all want to talk about that?
They're not in CID yet.
Oh, they're not?
Monday.
Oh, okay. Ambushing polar bears.
Yeah, supposedly.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, now we officially talked about War Machine.
Hooray! We talked about War Machine on the podcast.
I was involved in a conversation where somebody was like complaining because they thought Northkin was something totally... Well, it was a new race.
Northkin?
Yeah. I was like, no, it's just trolls.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I hope it is. Like, it's just a new theme force. I don't know.
Like, the Fire Eaters are called the Northkin Fire Eaters,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're called.
All right.
I really like the movie Trolls, although it really was just Smurfs, only they didn't want to pay royalty fees.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. Although I haven't seen it yet. It looked interesting.
I like the movie Troll and Troll 2.
I don't know that one.
Two completely different movies.
Yes.
I enjoyed
Troll 2 had no trolls in it.
That's weird.
Zombie 3 has no zombies in it. Like, Italians, when they make movies, they like to take the title of a movie that people actually wanted to see
and then
just
make
put
a different
a 2
movie.
Or a 3 at the end of their movie, and they don't give a shit if it makes sense.
That's fair. There was the Kid Trolls thing on Netflix.
The Troll Hunter?
The Troll Hunter.
Which was actually quite good. It was a TV show. It was on Netflix. It's on still on Netflix.
Well, the Troll Hunter show. A Troll Hunter is also a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie.
Really?
Yeah.
It probably has nothing to do with the TV show.
No.
I doubt it, but maybe.
It smells like the blood of Christians.
No, that seems unrelated.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. Yeah. I smell the blood of a Christian man.
No, that seems very unrelated. In this one, a high school-aged boy inherits an amulet that makes him the defender of all troll kind.
Sure.
And,
Trollkin,
sorry. Jeez. And
they seem very similar to me.
It seems unrelated.
It seems very similar.
But it's very good. It's on Netflix.
So this is also on Netflix, but it's about a documentary.
Wait, is it a documentary or it's about a documentary?
Troll Hunter.
Okay.
It's a documentary.
It's a documentary.
Okay.
It's kind of a boat of a documentary.
Well, it's a documentary that the crew made about their own experiences.
Yeah.
So it's also about a documentary. It's kind of like The Man Who Killed Don Quixote.
Okay.
Sure.
Haven't seen it.
Well, it was people were making a film about poachers and stuff, right? Was it
yes.
more about they were trying to hunt down people who were like hurting the animals.
Well, this guy's job, the Finnish government hires him to hunt
trolls,
like bears.
Well, no, he hunts
it was
bears.
Like, it was bears.
Yeah. And they were like the Finnish government hires him as a poacher and they like to sweep that under the rug cuz it's not something that they, you know, it's morally
it deals
smiled upon, and these people are following that guy.
Interesting.
No, he says that they're bears. The Finnish government
hires
him
to hunt bears.
Hunt bears.
Yes.
Bears.
And the documentary crew is following this guy because he has an interesting and borderline illegal job.
Yeah.
They're trying to like expose the bear hunting.
But the movie's not called Bear Hunter.
It's called Troll Hunter.
Yes. Yep.
Interesting.
It's worth a view. I would recommend it.
Okay.
I mean, all right. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Recommendations. We're done. And we're out.
Man, peace. We were done by our 6:30 time limit.
Yeah, we really nailed that time limit.
In the irrationally irritating movies moments thread on the essay forum, some guy was complaining about that movie because it doesn't make sense to be able to smell a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how come they can smell the fact that the guy's Christian? And it's like, what? Like, why are you complaining about science in this movie about giant troll monsters?
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, they did not accurately depict troll physiology. Fucking weirdo.
Well, to be fair, if somebody was like a big yoga believer, you would be able to smell them.
No, they specifically. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, so maybe they
smell
like
some religions. You can smell.
Some religions you can smell.
That should be the tagline for the podcast.
There you go. We already nailed it. Podcast is good. We're done. We're out.
Episode 205.
In the can.
Jeremy already said it, and I'm Andy.
And now we're on to episode 206.
Because we ended the other one.
Are we intended for mature audiences?
Oh, yeah.
That's what's happening
Yeah, why would we not be intended for a mature audience?
Do we have a pop-up?
Have you listened to our podcast?
I feel like we're intended for an immature audience.
I think we've been G-rated so far.
Yeah. This episode thus far, we have been G-rated.
Heck yeah.
Andy's re-listening to
us. I almost ironically dropped an F-bomb
you did
there, but I decided to do heck yeah.
All right. I'm Jeremy, since Andy tried to start the introductory train.
I'm Nathan.
I'm Katie.
Brian hasn't talked yet this episode.
I thought he said
do you
it was
not like Troll
one.
Hunter?
I said it was a good movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my story.
And that's Brian.
And that's Brian.
I'm a fan of Troll Hunter.
Man, I played 5-player vanilla BSG on Friday and the humans won. It was crazy.
Really?
Yeah. It's not very common.
No.
I don't believe
that. My story.
Do not believe that.
You people, well, you I mean, played without you us. People in your vanilla.
I don't know BSG. Why you'd play vanilla.
Because most of the expansion stuff sucks.
Disagree.
Such a frustrating statement.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
To be fair,
about?
We only use 1/3 of each expansion, so technically speaking,
Battlestar Galactica.
You could complain that more of an expansion is worse than the majority of it, but I do feel that that 1/3 makes the base game far superior.
We had expansion characters, some of them.
So that's
a few. Okay. Like I played as Cat.
I love the treachery deck, and I love.
We
the...
not play with any of the, like literally the only thing from expansions with some of the characters.
Yeah, it just and you have to be careful because some of them do rely on some of the mechanics. Yeah.
He pulled those guys out. We had Doc and Cat were the only two expansion people we had.
It's funny because usually you're so anti Battlestar Galactica.
I'm never anti Battlestar Galactica. I like 5-player vanilla. That's I love 5-player vanilla Battlestar Galactica. Okay. Also, I defend Dark Moon. Most of the crew is all like BSG or bust. Like, why would I bother playing Dark Moon when I could play BSG? And the answer is the 5-player vanilla game of BSG I played took 4 hours. I could have played Dark Moon like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah,
went to dinner, played two
it's
other
a,
games.
It's a time sink. You have to be it able is. To put 3 to 4 hours into BSG. Right. I mean, whatever flavor you're playing of that game is 3 to 4 hours.
Yes. The expansions don't add a ton of time. It's just a long game already.
Yeah, it's 3 to 4 hours regardless of what you put into it. But yeah, I love elements of each expansion so much. It frustrates me when I have to play. I play vanilla once in a while because some people are like, oh, I want to play vanilla. And I'm like, okay, fine. I still enjoy the game enough that I'd rather play the vanilla than not play the game.
Sure.
I just feel you're lacking so much.
There are, I would say, 1/3 of the expansions are tolerable. They're all unnecessary.
And that was how Brian and Nathan killed each other.
Like, okay, so New Caprica is just garbage.
That's
just flat out garbage.
Everything about New Caprica, including the show, New Caprica is garbage.
Cylon leaders are an improvement over Cylon sympathizers, but I'd rather just play with an odd number of people. So I don't need that. Treachery deck's probably my favorite of all the things. Pegasus is just a whole bunch of extra shit that's all overtly better than Galactica, and just I don't like it. Like, it seems unnecessary. And the fleet board is, if I could pick one thing out of all the expansions and play with it, I would play with the fleet board. But I've heard horror stories of just being able to lock down the fleet board.
They through a red as they've locked they've since nullified.
If they've nullified that, then the fleet board is far more interesting to me. But when that was a thing.
Yeah. When it first came out, you could game the system a little bit and leave certain depending on how you left stuff behind. I mean, if the Cylon players were good enough, they could manipulate it a little bit and stop that, but it was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have played vanilla. I've played with the expansion. I prefer playing with pieces of the expansion. I agree with you that it is frustrating that you can't just be like, we're going to play with the expansion because a lot of it I don't like. Yeah. But the parts I do like, I think, make the game vastly better. So I think I'm more in Brian's camp.
Yeah. But I don't know what I've played before.
You've only ever played
the expansions.
Oh.
I played vanilla without you and then loved it so much, I convinced you to play with the expansions with me one time.
I just remember you locked me in the brig.
We did lock you in the brig for an entire game. She played as, what's her name?
The one that Boomer. Gets to.
Yeah, yeah. She played as Boomer her first game and literally spent
Boomer
the second
half. Boomer herself.
Yeah, and she
never
got brigged and never got out.
Never.
And was not a Cylon.
Our Baltar was human and he was brigged for 80% of the game.
Yeah.
Being so Baltar. He was okay with it. He's like, I should be brigged. And so he was just XOing and whatnot.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Being Baltar
it's
or Boomer is.
It's interesting because I know you play with. He must be a very. Because I know a lot of that gaming group. Does not like American style games. So
for some
he
reason
must
they
have...
like BSG.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry. BSG, for those of you listening at home, is Battlestar Galactica. That Katie also asked, but she asked in a way I answered off microphone.
It's a pretty old game now, but man, it is so solid.
It is.
We don't play, and one of the reasons we don't play as much because it is a long game.
Mm-hmm. And when you're going to play a really long game, you've got some really, really fierce competition in the long game department. Like there are some games that are just amazing that are long. Like Nathan probably still thinks you'd rather play Dune if you're going to play a long game, right?
Yeah, but Dune's an everyone for himself. But yeah,
it is.
I will love sync time in Dune.
And
I really, really want to play a game of Dune because I watched the movie last week, and so now just Dune is burning my brain.
And I haven't played StarCraft in almost 12 months. I'm starting to twitch on StarCraft, which is another long game.
StarCraft slash, what was the one?
Forbidden Realms.
Forbidden Realms, which are both also really good. Or Forbidden Stars, which are both really good and long.
How long is Terraforming Mars? I feel like
Terraforming Mars is under 3.
Yeah, Terraforming Mars is I would consider a medium compared. If we call these long, Terraforming Mars is medium.
My next big game purchase is going to be Mega Civilization, which is the third iteration of Avalon Hill's Civilization game.
Okay.
I printed a copy of Advanced Civ, which, because Civ came out in like 1978 or something.
Sure.
And then Advanced Civ came in like mid-80s, and then that's been the game for the last 30 years. And then Mega Civ came out 2 years ago, and it's like a $300 game. But it's a 12-hour game. So yikes. It is in my definition of a long game.
So it's Axis and Allies.
Like anything single-digit hours, I still consider a mid-length game.
So you're talking Axis and Allies play length.
No, Axis and Allies is mid-length. Game Axis and Allies doesn't take more than 6 or 7 hours.
Well, when you play, we only played the 19...
The full, yeah, that yeah, one, I
the
guess.
Eight player, the 8-player.
Yeah, I'm talking full 8-player.
Everybody played that one even?
Axis yeah. and Allies? I own it.
The 8-player, big, massive new
played,
one?
He's played the yeah, new one. We've yeah. been brought in a long
that's,
time.
But. That's along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I think game that's that long, that's yeah. just the game that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
I don't mind games that go that long. I mind games that have player elimination that go that long.
The Civilization games are interesting because you will get curb stomped down, but they have a lot of rubber banding built into them.
Sure.
Like, there's calamities that hit people, and, like, one of the calamities is blatantly the person in the lead loses a chunk of their territory and gives it to the person in last place. And a lot of the calamities are stuff like that. And plus, it's a trading game, and so you're going to try to throw calamities at the people winning. It rubber bands really well.
There's a game called Britannia.
Yes.
Which is basically... I don't own it, which is surprising, but it's like a 4-player game where it goes to like the history of England.
That one I haven't played.
And it's really designed where... Like, if you start off as a Romans and you just get this massive lead, but it's like built to be like a 16 or 15 turn game.
Okay.
And the Romans are only in the game for the first 6 turns, so that player gets this huge lead in points, but then you keep taking turns controlling various factions, and then every faction they get for the rest of the game is kind of a crappy faction, so they have to like get a lead, and then they just have to do just enough with their crap stuff to kind of maintain enough points per turn. Where other factions who get stopped by the Romans the first 6 turns against these power factions are coming with the Saxons or coming with whatever, and just start slaughtering people. And
so it's like this is probably a bad comparison, but it's like Small World, only you're locked into certain races as you play.
If you're the Romans, you're going to play the Romans on like turn 1 through 6, and then on turns 8, you're going to play this. Yeah, it's a very specific set of races you play. Like the Picts will always become the Saxons and like certain things like that.
Did you ever play History of the World?
I played an app version of it.
Okay, because I think it's 7 epochs in History of the World, and everybody's a different... You pick a new race every epoch, and that one... The interesting thing with that one is that, you know, there's the set races every epoch, and whoever's in last place going into an epoch, they draw a card for one of the races for the next one. And some of them are strictly better or worse than others.
Sure.
Like, there's definitely a ranking. Like, there's somebody each epoch that's a garbage race and somebody who's just, like, a brick house. And whoever's in last draws a card, and they give that race to any player, which includes themselves or whoever's winning. So if they draw the shit guy, they're just going to give it to the guy who's winning. If they draw the maze balls one, they're going to keep it.
Sure.
Or mid-tier. And then the person who's second from last does it. And so naturally,
that's a game. I can see that being frustrated in the first couple games. Like, if you understand which good ones are, and you sit with someone who's like, they just draw the shit one and give it to like the wrong person who's in last already.
Because they don't know, yeah.
And that person just knows enough to realize what they did, and this, God, people are...
Our
group would lose our fucking minds.
It's like sitting on the wrong side of the person who doesn't know how to play Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah.
There are a lot of games that you have to play with people who all have the same knowledge of the game.
Well,
knowledge
like, level. And even some simpler games, like you love Castles of Mad King Ludwig.
Yeah.
But you sit down with 3 people that know how to play Castles and 1 person that doesn't, and all of the 3 people that have played before, except the person that just got given the game, the other 2, want to kill that person using the game pieces by the end of the game.
I mean, that'll happen, like word replacement games, if they're blocking wrong, area control games, if they just YOLO and attack randomly, yeah. Yeah. I mean...
Anything with a draft mechanic, good lord.
Yeah, there's definitely... Yeah, when you set up a game, you kind of have to really gauge who you're playing with and then the depth of the game. So it's an interesting mechanic to just have to figure out as a person playing the game out.
But that's okay, Brian, because the last time we played Terraforming Mars, you guaranteed me everyone had played before.
Yeah, I did. I had thought everyone.
You thought everyone had.
Like, I got to hear about it when he got home. By
so
the way,
we got a game.
We still drafted.
So we had a game day, and we played 2 games. We played Terraforming Mars, which is definitely one of those games where if you play with drafting, you need to play with people who know what they're doing. And we played, what was the one we played first?
Feast of Odin.
Feast of Odin, which is a little bit less so, but still definitely has an aspect of that where it's helpful if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, but you don't
it's not as big. It's not as big.
You don't affect other people as much right. if you don't know what you're doing.
So we played Feast of Odin. Three of us had played before. One of us hadn't. And it was fine, but the game went longer because we had a person that hadn't played and we had to take the time to teach him and all that, which is fine. We all went and we got lunch and we came back and Brian and I are sitting downstairs with our lunch and the other two guys haven't come down yet. And I said, Brian, it's fine that one of them hadn't played Feast of Odin, but you promised me that we've all played Terraforming Mars, right? Like, you guarantee, like, I can burn down your house if one of them hasn't played Terraforming Mars, right? And he goes, yes, they've definitely both played Terraforming Mars. No problem. We're going to start. No explanation. We all know how to draft. And I take my first bite of food and I put it in my mouth. And one of the guys walks down and he goes, oh, I guess I haven't played this game. Literally the first words out of his mouth. He looks at the board and he goes, oh, I thought I'd played that before, but never mind. And Brian just looked at me and I was like,
hey, he sat between us, so he went back and forth giving
Yeah, both Brian and I, like, he would draft amazing things to Brian, and then we'd draft back the other way and give amazing things to me.
So
he
it
had no
worked
idea.
Out well.
It was...
He actually got a good score towards the end.
He did all right.
Well, like anyone who's decent at gaming, a game like that still takes two or three turns to kind
to of figure out what
flow.
You're doing. And then you're behind. Then you're two or three turns behind,
I think you can come back from that, though, if you have a really good follow-up hand.
I don't know why you'd play time turns with Concordia. Somebody mentioned that.
I think any game you have, if based on your player group, you might have to get time turns. There's a certain games where
I suppose
I could see Five Tribes having people have to put a time turn because there could be infinite possibilities.
But that game, it's just Five Tribes. Just play it quickly and have fun.
Okay, you never play anything quickly.
I was playing Role Player, and we had somebody just staring at their dice. I mean, it's supposed to be a fun, fast, 15-minute game, and it took like 3-4 minutes for him just staring at his dice. Ugh.
You were with me at Moe's place that time. It was the first time we ever played Mage Knight, right?
Yes.
The first time Brian and I ever played Mage Knight. So the guy sets it up. He explains it, mm-hmm. and there is like the very first thing, you like get what turn order you want to be in, mm-hmm. whatever. And there's a guy who got the choice to choose what turn he wanted to go on the first turn of the game.
Sure.
And I exaggerate not, he took at least 15 minutes to decide whether he wanted to go first or not. He decided to go first and then took an additional 10 minutes to pick his you know, whatever you have to pick
was
as the
co-op
first person.
Mage Knight or was this competitive?
It was versus. It was competitive.
But still.
Like, what was the 15 minutes for if it didn't include the 10 minutes to decide what to do as the first player?
And this was the only person who knew how to play. This is the guy who knew how to play the game.
This is the one who knew how to play?
Yes!
What?
I would have got up and left.
We did sit through it, and then we just wanted to die. But
yeah, that sounds terrible.
It was horrific.
At least you didn't get mowed through
we
it.
We did finish. You know, I called the game after like a couple of turns. I'm like, you know what? I like this game, but we're never going to play a full game. We're only doing like the introduction thing because he wanted to teach us the game.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
you know what?
God.
We understand the game enough that I like it. I don't need to experience whatever this is anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was astounding because he finally said, okay, I'll go first. And we're like, thank God. And then he just started staring at his choice, and we could not believe it was happening to us.
That's terrible.
Here's the problem, is the slower other people go, the faster I want to go, because I still want the game to not take that long.
And then you wind up playing suboptimally and you lose, and then you're irritated because the game went long and you lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that happen. It's super fun to get to go home with her after that.
My buddy Andrew, the guy who owned the copy of Twilight Imperium that I always played, so he was always ending the games that I played, he had math that he broke down and he showed people. He's like, guys, these games in general take like 10 game rounds. You get this many actions per round, blah, 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 blah. So if you take 30 seconds to think, this is going to take us 8 hours. If you take 45 seconds to think, it's taking us 12 hours. Like those 15 seconds don't feel long,
but it matters.
And Lord help you if you take 2 minutes to think about every action. We cannot do this.
We do not have time. Yeah.
Ugh. Just that's play terrible. Your fucking game.
You take a very long time to take your turns, Jeremy.
Not always, but sometimes. Yes.
You are not going
to. It's like War Machine. You should have quite a few quick turns, and the turn you need to think about it, think about it. But if every turn that's not critical, you think about you can go fast, and it's like it's what drives me nuts is people when it's their turn. Don't know what happened the last couple turns.
Yep.
I hate this. Like, what were you doing?
Yeah. It's like, because I mean, when you're playing a game, even if it's not your turn, the board, especially when it's combat games, because the board is changing, it's evolving, so it's your turn. What you're going to do is based on what happened those last turns. You go, well, I should evaluate the board now. Oh, what happened to all those miniatures? Right. What's that? Why is that gone?
The one time it's okay is when you're like, just a second, the person right in front of me just did something that makes me have to completely change what I was going to do.
And that does happen.
Because they did something insane.
Well, something insane, or like every once in a while, or unexpected. Brian will do something, like Brian will be sitting to my right, and Brian will do something that I realize is not good for him, but it's because he also looked at the board and was like, oh, this is amazing for Jeremy, fuck you, Jeremy.
Sure.
Well, and that's fine, that'll happen.
I'm just saying, Jeremy, we have skipped your turn before because no one realized that we all just thought no one was going, and so the next person went.
Well, it could really screw someone up, but let's say if I'm going, Nathan's like, if I do something where Nathan just... Like, Nathan knows what he wants to do, but then I happened to do that, and Nathan was like, well, Brian never would have done that because it made, you know, you didn't, yeah. So people can sometimes just throw you off your game when they do something that's completely true. Unpredicted.
Yeah.
But in general, people, yeah, it's...
In general, I am not like that, but there are games I play where occasionally that happens the whole game, and I realize that. I realize I'm not innocent in this case, but I'm also not guilty every time.
You also feel every move anyone does gets good for them as somebody trying to just it's done just to screw you instead of trying to help themselves. It's like, well, obviously that move was just meant to hurt me, regardless of the and positive effects of that
worse.
Person.
Am I worse about that than Jim? Am I?
How often does Jim play with us lately?
The thing Fair. You're the worst at is not understanding the concept of there's an advantage to not doing things that there's no reason not to do if doing them screws over other people.
But I could screw someone over.
Anytime you're given the choice of screw somebody over or don't, you always pick the screw somebody over.
Well, yeah.
And then they annihilate you for the remainder of the game, crushing you out of the game and destroying any possibility you have of winning, and you never learn maybe don't screw someone over for no reason.
We've been doing it to you for like 5 years.
I know. Especially when it's like turn one. Like if you're going to screw someone over, you want to make sure, like typically when you betray someone, and I don't do it often, so it's hard for me to, but I still understand the concept. If you betray someone, make sure you cripple them so they can't retaliate.
See, but it's not Jeremy betrayal. Betrayal if we were never an alliance.
No, but when we play a game of Game of Thrones,
yes.
And I have a consolidated power and you have a raid,
yes.
And you're like, well, I guess this raid does nothing or burns your consolidated power. And I say, if you burn the consolidated power, uh-huh. I will throw this game murdering your house off the face of Westeros. I swear to the gods above.
Yep.
You decide to still do it.
Yep.
And then when we both lose the game by a mile, you're like, how did this happen?
Oh, no, I knew how it happened.
Sometimes you don't.
My favorite was when we were playing with Mo, and he was just like, hey, Nathan, would you like to win the game?
And
this
we
round?
Played again, and then we again.
What was that?
And notice, and who doesn't play with us anymore either?
Also, yeah. Oh my God.
Like, he didn't do anything. He never betrayed you. He always just said it was in your best interest.
He literally gave up points on the last turn of the game just so Nathan could have free points.
When you're playing Game of Thrones, it's really handy to control 40% of the houses for the entire game.
Yeah. You were the Starks, and Stark Greyjoy. And he was Greyjoy.
And then we switched, and I was Greyjoy, and he was Stark. And both games, it was just Nathan plays Stark and Greyjoy, and it's the greatest thing ever.
You can't do that.
Well, I can, apparently. It was great.
It was the worst. It was the worst. I don't know that I've played that game since those two games. It was the worst.
It was a long time. Like, we played last year at Nathan's house, finally.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't played that game in forever.
No, it was Brian and I, and then the other group I used to play with, yeah.
Okay. I do want to go play Concordia now that somebody's mentioning Concordia in the
chat.
What
is that game with, like, Dorne was, like, my highlight achievement? Like, I don't need to play the game anymore.
That's tough.
Yeah. I've played the six-player game very few times compared to the amount I've played at five-player.
It changes. It really, the whole, it changes.
Oh, yeah, it changes a lot. It changes a lot.
Interesting. Anyway.
We saw Spider-Man, except for
announcements.
Nathan. Announcements. We saw Spider-Man.
We saw Spider-Man.
Announcements. WITC is still coming up.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
WITC.
I think we're in Europe for it.
Oh.
August 26th?
No, we'll be back.
Technically, I will have been back in the country for like 4 days. So
there you go.
No.
Just pick up your models you haven't used for 6 months.
Yeah. I'll just
buy all that new stuff.
I'll casually remember how to play the game in 4 days. No.
You'll be fine.
Oh, just net deck some Tom Guan list. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. You can't because he doesn't play anymore.
That was a good joke.
He doesn't play Rhett.
He doesn't play anything.
He doesn't play anything.
You mean someone who played the game nonstop, traveled the world for 2 straight years, got burnt out?
Burned themselves out.
You mean someone, here's the flip side. Someone who plays games like this well enough that they could make thousands of dollars playing Magic instead is going to play Magic instead?
Yeah.
How does that reflect on the game that isn't making thousands of dollars as a Magic player instead?
Yeah.
It fucking doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, miniatures games don't make you money. Miniature games are played really for the fun of it, in a sense.
When he announced that he was stopping War Machine to play Magic competitively, and people were posting all over, ah, see, this is proof that War Machine's dead because Tom Guadalupe, he's leaving because he wants to make mad cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Well, wasn't he in college before?
He might still be.
I think his parents are hedge fund managers or something. Because
he was literally traveling to tournaments around the world every single weekend for a year.
Well, he went to Australia for school, I believe, and then just did a little more traveling out there. But
he traveled a ton.
So he's playing Magic and Pally. Good for him. I mean,
it doesn't mean the game is dying. It means that at the end of the day, this is not a game where you can make money playing competitively, and there are games that you can. And so, he is good at games.
The other thing is, guys, keeping a hobby for more than 2 years is...
That you play that much.
Like, I can't keep a hobby for more than a year.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you're on the other extreme of hobby keeping.
Yeah, and that you don't have them.
Well, but, like, that's a long time to be that involved in a game without finding a different interest.
Oh, Andy, I was planning to spoil the crap out of it.
We'll start spoiling. We'll put this on his ear.
I don't understand how there can be spoilers.
There can't be much spoilers of a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
I know it's not origin story, like they skipped all that stuff.
So it was kind of nice.
It was actually. I'm glad they did that. But
oh, the Vulture's the villain, isn't it?
Yeah, the Vulture.
Yeah. Because it's like,
what do you call him, Jeremy?
Vulture Man.
Vulture Man.
They don't ever say his name, and so I referred to him as Vulture Man. And Brian was just like,
they don't actually mention his name.
They never mention
his name.
Just
an old man who flies around.
No, they refer to him as the Vulture Bird guy.
They mention him as Mr. Toombs.
Sure.
At the very end of the movie, he does write down the vulture thing. But I mean, other than the very end, there's not even use the word vulture.
Yeah.
Man, though.
Maybe Mysterio next movie.
He squishes that spider pretty good. Squish, squish.
Squish, squish. But yeah,
what
I learned from Spider-Man is Michael Keaton should be in more movies, and it's
amen
a crime
to
against
that.
Humanity
What's
that
the
he
big
not.
Spoiler?
I'll tell you later because Nathan hasn't seen it yet.
He's deaf in that ear.
So here's the one thing I really liked about Spider-Man as compared to a lot of the other Marvel Cinematic Universe is that the villain in Spider-Man is really well done.
Yes.
He's well thought out. As compared to all the other villains like Arnim Zola, basically all the
family died.
They're throwaways. They're only there for that.
Loki's mean. Girl, Loki.
Well,
he's funny. Besides Loki.
Loki is one of the best villains in the entire MCU.
Let me ask you, what's Loki's motivation in Thor 1?
I don't care because he's amazing.
He's Loki.
Oh, no. He's jealous of his brother.
He wants his brother's throne. He wants the throne.
Sure.
Hey, remember how right away at the beginning of the movie, Thor is exiled?
Yeah.
And Loki is made heir to the throne?
Yeah.
So his plan's done, and he can stop now, and he doesn't need to do anything, and then he does stuff and ruins it. Like, if your motivation is to do X and you succeed in doing X,
how is it
your motivation
still?
Well, I think
the real threat is Thor's an annoying big brother who's just going to fucking fix his problem and get his hair back.
What is Loki's tagline?
Hair.
Does Loki have a tagline?
He's the god of mischief. He's going to fuck shit up, even if it's fucking his own shit up.
He was kind of evil by the end of Ragnarok, but yeah.
But yeah, I like Loki. This is a great Vulture. No, I need to...
Yeah.
I have a non-spoiler-esque thing. I do need to say I have complained about things in credits since they started. I think I've done that since the beginning. All I want to say is I felt this movie was finally a movie where the credit scenes
were perfect.
Added value
it was
to the movie.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And so rarely they don't. And I'm like, I see, I'm like, okay, all an end credit usually is a promo for the next movie.
True.
Right.
I mean, that's all they do. And this one,
Marvel movies.
Yeah, the Marvel movies is all about how we promote. And this was just a nice, well done. You just have to wait for it.
The second one.
Yeah.
So
there are two.
But what I will say is I went to the bathroom in between the first and the second one. And so when I came back for the second one, I was standing down in the aisleway.
Yeah.
And I could hear Jeremy laughing.
It was
loudly.
It was amazing. Yeah. The second spoiler was amazing.
So yeah, that's all I want to say about it. It almost makes up for all the previous movies annoying things that have always annoyed me.
I've always liked them. They always had the nice little teaser for
the problem
coming
is I don't
MCU.
Really care about the coming next in the MCU is the problem. Like that's the problem. Is the only one of all of the ones before this, of all the ones, the only one I enjoyed was them eating shawarma. Which is a ridiculous thing, but I enjoyed it. It's the only one I enjoyed.
The only one I even remember was Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
No, my favorite out of all of them is Thor: Dark World.
Yeah.
With the giant dog
chasing the birds.
Running through like some place chasing birds.
Yeah.
Destroying things. That was great.
And the issue is there's a sliding scale of just a funny scene like shawarma.
Sure.
Or the literally just, here's a character that's going to be in the next movie, so stay tuned.
Right.
Yeah. You know? And somewhere in the middle, they're okay. But when it's just, like, which one of it is the end of when they, the Thor's
Doctor
old
Strange.
Buddy. No.
Ant-Man.
When Thor, the older scientist, like, you see Loki's reflection when he, like, gets the Tesseract. It was to set up the Avengers. It was the end of, like, Iron Man 2 or something or whatever. But, like, it literally was just like, by the way, this
Captain
is going to be...
Captain America was the last one before the Avengers.
So then probably. It was Captain America. Yeah. But just, like, the Captain... Not Captain Marvel, Jesus. The Doctor Strange one is literally just like...
Literally just like,
here's the next movie.
Hey, guess what? Thor's going to work with Doctor Strange in the new Thor movie.
And Loki and stuff.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need
even
that.
I don't remember that at all.
It was very much a commercial for the next Thor movie. That one that one is recent and annoyed me, which is why it comes to mind easily.
I don't mind the ones that that show in the credits that are only like 1 minute credits. It's the second one that is always never worth.
Fair,
yeah.
Someone in the chat brings up that all the Spider-Man movies have decent villains in general, like even the Raimi ones and whatnot.
All three. I think in the order of movies, if I'm gonna rank them. I really like this one the most, followed by the Raimi movies in the order that they came in.
Which one's the Raimi movies?
Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3.
The ones with Jerry Maguire.
Yes, with Jerry Maguire.
Toby Maguire.
I would watch that one.
I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Show me the spiders!
and then the Amazing Spider-Mans after that.
Yeah.
There's really no much...
The Rhino had such great character development in those films.
There's really not much... redeeming moments.
I don't mind
like a
character that's put just for the end and beginning credits. It's just as a throwaway thing. It doesn't bother me because it was a throwaway character that wasn't meant to have anything. I'm not saying those movies have problems.
Yeah.
I always felt that Tobey Maguire was the best Spider-Man. Andrew Garfield was the best Peter Parker, but I think this guy just beat them both up because he was awesome at both.
He was really good at both.
And where those guys were good at one or the other and decent at the other part of it.
He felt like a kid who actually grew up in New York.
Yeah, that's true.
And
too.
That's his accent really helped out with that.
And it's great because it's not an origin story, but it's still the early years of Spider-Man.
Yeah,
so
well,
he's still
very young, and that young comes across like when he talks to people and how he carries himself, and it's it's young.
Yep.
And so that's good.
He hasn't killed Mary Jane with radioactive semen.
Not yet.
Okay.
Does that actually happen in the comics?
Yes. He kills Mary Jane with... She gets cancer from his radioactive semen. And then he sells Aunt May's soul to the devil for one more day with Mary Jane.
You must be crapping me.
No.
Yeah, it sounds believable. It's a comic book.
It's a comic book, so I mean...
One more day. Look it up sometime. It's awful.
That sounds terrible.
Goofy things happen.
To be fair, some of the...
How can you sell somebody else's soul? I feel like that's, you don't have ownership. You're like, I'm going to sell Nathan's car.
There's usually...
Maybe it was his own. I don't know. He sells somebody. So the point is, he literally kills Mary Jane with radioactive cum.
Yeah. That's...
Just years of shooting loads in her just gives her cancer and she dies. And that's the fucking plot point of a Spider-Man
comic. The thing with all comics, whether it's Spider-Man, like the Amazing Spider-Man is the core Spider-Man. Then you have Spectacular and you have the Ultimate. And a lot of them, like usually the core ones don't get those storylines. It's usually like the... Really ridiculous Spider-Man Volume 4 is where you start getting these side awkward stories. So
like, I think it's Ultimate X-Men where the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are incestual
the
lovers.
Yeah. In Superman's world have like breast cancer from being exposed to like.
I haven't, but that's amazing.
I don't know. It's like a short comic or something.
Well, there's a scene in Watchmen. I mean, that's how they get rid of Dr. Manhattan is by accusing him of doing that. They ambush Dr. Manhattan on a talk show, and they bring up all these people that he's hung out with in his life, old girlfriends, old best friends, just everybody's ever been around, and shows that they all have fatal cancer. And they all blame it on him just exuding radiation, and he just freaks out from the pressure, and he leaves Earth. And that's how they get... You guys have seen /read this, haven't you?
I've seen it. I never read it, but
that's
I watched
it. That's how they get Doc Manhattan to leave, and he goes up to Mars and has this big introspective thing. Is they ambush him and like, look, you gave everyone you love cancer. And he's like, what? I suck. And he leaves.
I didn't remember that. It's been a long time since I watched Watchmen.
No, this was more of a comical thing.
This one was not comical.
No.
Yeah, this is how
No, I would not consider Watchmen comical, even though it's based on a comic.
I liked.
I really wish there was a better actor for the two guys. I can't think of their names right now. The gal and
Night Owl and Silk Spectre.
Night Owl, yes, they were not very good.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of okay with Night Owl because he's supposed to be bland and annoying and terrible, and you're supposed to not really whatever. So I guess it was okay, and she was just bad.
Yeah.
That movie's about as good as a Watchmen movie can be. Like, it's hard to
I mean, what's his name was done really well.
Rorschach. The comedian was amazing. Yeah. Like, yeah. I had read the graphic novel a dozen times, and I never got the comedian as deeply as I did from that performance. That was the best part of that movie was him.
Yep.
Also, giant blue penis. IMAX. 10-story tall.
Giant blue penis. It was so large. Let me reenact Jim during the movie. He's like... He's like, everyone put your hand in front of my face. I need a layer between me and that penis.
I've never seen it.
No.
Well, I've heard a lot about it.
There's a giant blue penis.
Well, it's only giant if you see it on an IMAX. If you see it on a 24-inch TV, it's only like a foot.
Yeah. It's still big.
Yeah, Jim's favorite scene is when we're like, you see his legs as he's coming downstairs towards you.
Yep.
And so it's getting closer and closer to the top of the screen. And right at the top of the screen is upper thigh. It cuts away.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, it cut away to something else. And it cuts back to right there when they went to the middle of the screen. Yeah.
Why do they show his peep?
Because he's so detached from humanity because of his self-evolution into godhood that clothing doesn't even make sense to him anymore.
And I get that, and that makes sense. So I
feel like if your Wang is winging about, clothing makes sense from a protection standpoint.
He's also literally invincible.
Yeah.
I suppose.
It's also what they... It's a direct from the comic, too. He was naked in the comic.
Yeah, but the comic, it was very... I mean, it's a comic. It's like a little dash. It's not like a... You know,
someone put a lot of effort into his penis.
Yep.
Someone's job.
Have you seen this recently?
So then they filmed it. Well, it's Jim talks about all the time.
Yeah. But it is supposed to be a character point to show how inhuman he is instead
of just showing it on the film for a moment so you get it, they show it for like an hour and a half to make sure you really get it.
They want you to feel awkward.
I don't think it's the that much. I really don't remember it being that much. The
it's
way
not
you
that
describe
much.
It,
it's like
it's
drama.
A, it's not
trauma.
It's about 35 minutes. It has its own monologue for a while there.
Talking.
Yeah. Talks about the history of the Welsh.
Little Dr. Manhattan.
It's that long, you can just bend back up like a snake, right? Like this?
Anyway.
It's like a baby holding an apple.
I liked... you mentioned the... I Spider-Man 1 was such an amazing... Spider-Man 1 really almost kicked off some of the superhero stuff more than anything else. I mean, because it was such an amazing...
The modern superhero.
Yeah, it was all because of Spider-Man.
It was the first one that really captured the audience, in a sense.
I saw a film festival commercial once that was a singing penis. I'm just putting that out there. I think it was an Australian gay and lesbian film festival.
I don't know that I needed to know that.
Get back to Spider-Man.
Let's get less penis.
One person said that they liked Doc Ock better, but I don't like Doc Ock as much as I liked this guy.
They're two of my favorite Spider-Man villains from the movies.
The nice thing about Dr. Octopus was how much he didn't want to be doing what he was doing, but kind of...
He was very conflicted.
But on the other hand, that's kind of a cheap way out, right? Yeah. Like, instead of having this character, you didn't have... Dr. Octopus wasn't the villain. Otto Octavius wasn't doing any of this. His evil tentacles were evil.
And he couldn't control them.
Right. And so you actually have two characters there, one evil and one good. And some could argue that that's a cheap way of avoiding actually having a mixed character.
Whereas in this case, I thought they did a very good job with that. That he was a bad guy and he did bad things. But he was also, you could understand why.
He was a businessman. He wasn't actually a bad guy in a sense. He was more of a businessman.
He was selling illegal weapons to street dealers.
But you see,
and he killed a guy and was like, oh, I didn't think I'd kill him.
He grabbed the wrong gun.
But he was so indifferent towards the killing.
But he didn't care that he killed him.
He wasn't upset.
Crying over spilled milk.
No, no, he thought it was an anti-grav gun that was just make the guy float. Yeah. That's what he originally thought it was.
Yeah, but his reaction was just like, huh.
Oh, well.
What's he going to do? No crying over spilled milk.
If you're an evil person, then accidentally killing someone.
Accidentally killing someone that you've like, would consider at least a mild friend for years.
I don't know. He's always seemed to have problems with this guy.
I guess.
I don't know if friend's a good word.
Yeah, a guy who's suddenly just deciding that he's going to betray you just because you
I have a lot of coworkers I dislike.
Yeah.
And I would still feel bad if I accidentally incinerated any of them.
Well,
there's got to be some you wouldn't.
Accidentally being the key word perhaps in that sentence, but
well, I mean, you're like, oh okay, cool. Like, in fact, it's almost better if it's accidental, because then you don't feel guilt over having chosen to do it.
I could think of almost
the guilt's
one
the payoff, though.
There's like almost one.
Sandman, Spider-Man 3 is probably, I think, the best of the original. Even though that's not that's the weakest of the Sam Raimi movies, Sandman's a good villain.
You
as
like
far
the villain
as,
a lot.
Well, as far as understanding his motivations and not just blah, 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 blah.
That's true.
Yeah, I think actually I really feel that it could have that movie could have really worked if it was just Sandman and Venom.
Mm-hmm.
But inclusion again of another fucking Hobgoblin / Green Goblin was.
Well,
just
that movie was
much.
Just had too many villains, like straight up.
But Sandman was solid. I not he wasn't solid. He was Sandy.
He was yeah.
But he's one of my favorites.
Well, Sand is a solid.
Yuck. But anyway, the movie was good. I would definitely recommend the movie. There's definitely at least one plot twist that I won't spoil for anyone that I thought was really good. That surprised me, but was a cool plot twist. But other than that, it's Spider-Man.
Dies.
I mean, Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man. Young Spider-Man
is the Hobgoblin.
and I thought it was well done. I enjoyed the suit a lot. The suit was a nice like touch for the movie. I thought.
Andy, how annoyed were you by the thing you thought you were going to be annoyed by?
Not so much.
That's good.
I think we talked about it on the last one of the last.
Especially
podcasts.
Because the way it ends, I think, is what makes it pay off more functional.
Yep. It pays off. It pays off in a nice way. Yeah. But yeah,
I don't know what you were talking about. That
he was annoyed that Spider-Man didn't make his own equipment.
Yeah.
Oh.
Although he did make his own web.
Well, he did.
Well, there is a thing going to that. Without we don't want to spoil too much, but there is things he does and things.
Yeah. I mean, Spider-Man is Spider-Man. His suit isn't. It's not an Iron Man suit.
Yeah.
And that's basically what the movie is. It's him adventuring around in a sense, a Iron Man suit, a cloth Iron Man suit.
And Peter being very smart is important to the movie, too.
It is.
So his intelligence is definitely a key factor of his character.
Yep.
Well, and I think they do a good job of making him intelligent without being, like, over the top about it. Like,
without him knowing everything about everything always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's not Sheldon.
No.
That would have been amazing. I'd see that movie, too.
Nathan's head just exploded internally. It's gonna start leaking out of his ears.
Is that show still going?
Oh yeah.
Oh motherfucker.
Young Sheldon.
Oh god, the spinoff. Yeah, I forgot.
They're starting Young Sheldon. Also, each of those actors are some of the highest paid actors on television today. Each actor from that show, not as a group, individually.
That show's so bad.
Apparently not. Apparently it's amazing.
Apparently people love it.
No, people love bad things. Popularity and quality are not related to each other.
Ergo, our podcast.
We're not very popular.
No, we're very popular. We're just not very good.
I think we're not very popular and not very good. I mean, there's like a correlation.
We're both in there.
What? He was touching the stand, so I had to give him something else
you
to
gave,
touch.
Oh, him. Okay, gotcha.
He had to give Brian a fidget toy.
Yeah.
I was actually taking that away from Brian because he was slamming it into the stand, and then you gave it back to him, and that's what confused me.
We need to buy Brian a fidget spinner.
No, I don't want
to. Or a straight jacket.
I just want to throw them against the wall. All
I didn't
of them.
Say Katie a fidget spinner. I said
I don't
Brian.
Wow. Having him in the room, they're awful.
Wow.
Some people brought him in months ago before they got super, super popular, and I was like, I have like stress balls, and I have all sorts of fidgety things because that's what I am.
Yeah.
But a fidget spinner, I was like, this is dumb.
The cube is way better.
The fidget cube my brother has, I like. Katie still doesn't like it.
Because people talk about the fidget spinner, like, oh, some people need it. No, there are zero people for whom a fidget spinner is beneficial. Zero.
Well, you can just flick it
and it
spins. And it
you're spins not fidgeting.
For forever.
Yeah, you're not fidgeting. That's why
but
I have
the fidget cube is actually.
Yeah, you press the buttons, you flip the lever, you move the dial. Like, there's stuff that you're constantly doing.
I have a brother that fidgets. I know this is going to be hard to believe, but more than Brian. And my parents bought him the fidget cube, and he loved it. And he was like, hey, check out this thing. So I checked out, and I loved it. And I was like, oh, man, Katie, I should. And then pure hatred washed over me in a wave, and I decided I would not
Christmas
get...
Christmas present figured out
I would not get myself
shade.
A fidget cube.
I don't like things that you can't complete. Like, there is no...
No, you can turn it on and off.
And then on
and then
again.
Spin the
dial.
The
statement you just said made me angry. You can't finish it. There's no. There's no purpose to moving it.
So if you don't like things like that, I have a question. If you like things that can't finish, why do you like Jeremy?
Whoa.
I was too excited about that one, but I had to get it out.
That has a sad.
But Spider-Man is awesome.
Spider-Man was good. Moral of the story. Spider-Man was good. Go watch it, Nathan.
War of the Planet of the Apes also came out. I saw the
first. Oh, is that out?
Movie. I want to see it.
I thought it came out this coming week.
I thought it was the same. Okay.
And then next week is Valerian.
And then like 2 weeks of that's Atomic Blonde, which I can't wait to see.
So Valerian and Atomic Blonde are going to come out while I'm out of the country. Yeah. But War of the Planet of the Apes, I could go see next weekend. All right. So we need to make that happen.
And I might be working about 44 hours next weekend, but if I get away for 2 hours, I'll go see that movie.
I would like to do a marathon of that. I'd like to watch the first two.
Oh. You've seen them?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I love both of those things. They're both very high quality. Yeah. It took a weird spin after the Ape Abraham Lincoln Memorial, but, you know.
The original?
The original?
Wow. I was going to let that one go because it was just too painful.
I thought I was trolling.
But yeah, I definitely want to go see that before I leave for Europe. Because I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see it. Like, Valerian looks really good and Atomic Blonde looks good, but like I just won't have a chance to see them because I will be out of the country.
I'm worried about Valerian.
It looks like it could be really good.
I don't know enough about it, so if it's an enjoyable sci-fi, that's all I really need.
Yeah.
Is it? So it's a book already, right?
It's a comic.
It's a comic, yeah.
It's a comic?
Or old.
Is it already like had
70s or something?
Kids in it? In a sense,
probably.
I have no idea.
They're not kids.
They're not kids.
He's in his 20s.
They're kids. They're in their 20s.
Oh my god.
Andy, how old
are you? If you think they're kids, you got a problem because
of the two main actors in Valerian.
Oh, who are the two main actors?
I don't know.
Well, the one of them is really the one guy who's in the things. Is the main guy the McPoyle? Who's in Westworld? He looks like the McPoyle who's in Westworld.
It's not a
McPoyle. But he's got that same unfortunate facial structure.
You know, Star Wars, Luke looks kind of young. That movie must be terrible.
No, Luke looked fine.
He looks fine as young. She's probably younger than the kid in Valerian.
No, this kid looks... They look Luke? Too young. Well, they were mentioning that there's like their first missions and stuff like that. And
it's not that they're professional agents.
They never said it was their first mission.
No, they did a lot of missions. They're like,
he's like Bond. They're like, here's another mission person who does all kinds of shit and is known to be amazing.
Get off my lawn.
I think it's his and her first mission together, maybe?
No, they always work together. You said that in the trailer.
I don't know.
I don't even know anything.
Valerian. V-A-L-E-R-I-A.
It's sci-fi.
Get off my lawn. Damn it.
Valerian in the city of 1,000 planets. So many planets.
How many planets?
A thousand. But that could be a lie. It's like the land of 10,000 lakes. So the lady is Cara Delevingne Gagne, and she's awesome. The guy is Dane DeHaan. Oh, is he the one from that one thing that's terrible?
I don't know if it's how terrible that
was. Oh, no, he was...
I recognize him.
He was...
No, thanks.
He was the bad guy in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. He was Green Goblin.
He was.
He was the guy... He was the hero in The Chronicle.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So he's, what, 35, 40?
In Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Remember the whole thing with Gwen Stacy?
Oh, yeah. I blocked out a lot of Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Anyway, so
he's my age.
He's 31.
He's almost exactly my age.
God damn it.
He's old. The same birthday month.
He's 31. Let's say 30 when the film was being made. Now I'm going to check Star Wars.
Let's see how old Luke
is. I'll just look up Mark Hamill because I know the years that Star Wars came out.
We're going to be doing some math here, everyone. Everyone get a calculator.
26 when the first Star Wars came out. So Hamill in Jedi is about the same age as this guy in Valerian. Old, grizzled, rundown Luke Skywalker.
Hold on. Thing is, though, Mark Hamill also... Was this kid involved in a motorcycle accident?
he almost died. He does have an unfortunate
face. Because that's how Mark Hamill looks in...
I actually thought he was somebody else, but he's not.
You thought he was Peter Pan?
I did.
Yeah, I knew that's who you thought it was, but wow. I don't remember that actor's name.
He gets second billing under Cara Delevingne.
Really?
Yeah.
The hot girl?
She was in...
I wasn't going there, but yes.
She looks attractive.
She's a model.
You were going there.
I guess I was
coming there. Oh! Ejaculate and Mary Jane dies.
Maybe this is my problem. Maybe I'm sick of the Chosen One movies.
Sure, but again, he's not a chosen one.
They're just on a mission. They're just on a mission.
It feels like a chosen one. They're just good agents assigned to a task.
Hey, you two, do a job. Oh, he's a chosen one.
It feels like a chosen one.
It's just two dudes doing a job. Yeah. What trailer have you watched?
This movie is based on the sixth story in the series.
Okay.
So they're taking a... Like, he is an established person in this mythos.
Stop trying to... make me not like it.
not like it. What?
The thing is, Luc Besson has done what, 3 movies? 4 now?
We've talked about his movies before.
Fifth Element.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Lucy. I feel like I'm missing
it's
one.
It's got John Goodman.
Oh, La Femme Nikita.
Yeah.
Like Luc Besson does good
shit. This might be as good as his best movie, Lucy.
I loved Lucy if you changed to. Two things. So you're not even trolling me.
I would love Lucy if you add one thing.
Sure. Which kind of changes. If you add that one thing, it changes the other two things by negating them.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never saw the movie.
We never saw Lucy, but I want to see it just so I could troll Nathan with more detail.
Somebody out there edit Lucy and make a version that just completely cuts out
Morgan Freeman and the USB drive.
No, I was going to say Samuel L. Jackson because that was going to be a funny racist joke. But
there's been enough racism this weekend.
Just
mostly from Brian.
Did I miss something?
Brian was very racist. He sent it to you.
Well, he sent it to Alex, actually.
My Korean women's.
Yeah, Brian, tell your Korean women's story.
The Ah-young thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ah-young.
Both Ah-youngs are amazing, but I just can't.
Ah-young.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyway.
The point is, somebody out there, like, do like the guy did with the Hobbit movies. Just take out Morgan Freeman's 10% bullshit.
He wasn't in the Hobbit.
Right. I know. Great job.
Great job, joke. Peter Jackson. You pulled up Morgan Freeman from the Hobbit.
Just take Morgan Freeman out of most movies.
Oh, no.
Just leave his voice there. No.
Ghost,
which is
Morgan
an odd
Freeman
movie.
The one in the James Bond that's not James Bond but it's funnier.
Yes,
you mean Batman?
No, the Knightsman, the Kingsman.
No,
that's Samuel
Super
Jackson.
No,
wow. I said let's stop the racism. We hit a quota.
Morgan Freeman was the one in The Hateful Eight.
I never saw that.
No, he wasn't.
I'm sorry, he was in Demolition Man.
No, and you did
he does
see
the voice
Eight.
In Mufasa.
Oh my god.
None of that's true.
Jones.
Yes. Morgan Freeman.
He was
I
Shaft.
I don't know their voices.
Morgan Freeman is the voice from Shawshank Redemption.
He was also the guy in Shawshank. You said she knows voices.
I've never seen Shawshank.
Have you
Redemption.
Seen Shaft?
No.
Did you see Bruce Almighty?
He's God
have
in Bruce Almighty.
Have you movie? Seen Ted 2?
March of the Penguins.
No. Okay, I'm beginning to think.
Robin, how do you not know who Morgan Freeman is?
I'm beginning to see him. I don't know who Morgan Freeman
is. You have seen,
I guarantee you would know his voice.
You've seen 5 to 20 movies with Morgan Freeman.
Andy, play a voice clip of Morgan Freeman.
I think he's an up-and-comer.
He's not an up-and-comer. He's like a billion. He's like a billion.
Holy cow.
Hey, that's ageist.
Yeah, it's also true.
So, one of my favorite Morgan Freeman films that...
Announcement, Chad Strunk is 52 minutes into Speed Racer.
Yes.
Okay, I know who that guy is.
Of course, yeah,
of course
it's Morgan
it's
Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
He played Darth Vader for fuck's sake.
Yes.
So
no, he was in the suit. James Earl Jones did the voice. I was Samuel Jackson. Damn it.
You trolled yourself.
But odd movie you don't expect him to be in. He's really good in Unleashed.
Morgan Freeman?
Yep.
I don't know Unleashed. I don't know that I saw it.
It was originally titled Danny the Dog. You know it's a good movie because it has Bob Hoskins in it.
Who I also don't know who that is.
Oh. You know, you've seen Bob.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, okay.
Mermaids?
He was the rabbit.
Yeah. And the baby. And Jessica Rabbit.
And Judge Doom.
And all of the weasels. It was a literally one-man movie. That's why they had to animate all the other characters.
Sorry.
And Bob Hoskins did all the animation, too.
Okay, sure.
He drew it live, too.
It took him 87 years. It was a passion project.
Explains why he looks like he did. Oh, man. All right. Well, in 30 minutes, Katie and I have to leave for Big Brother. Big Brother!
Wow.
Oh, Christ. Just end the podcast right now.
Jesus.
No more high talking five, of Big Brother.
No, that was going to happen. Oh, Jesus.
So far, I was, so we have a friend that we also talk about Big Brother with. I was like, man, this guy is like the worst guy ever. And then he informed me that a couple of seasons ago, multiple people got fired from their real life jobs.
Because of how terrible they were on the show. They were so terrible on the show, they got fired from their real life jobs.
Which is funny.
Well, I'm going to say, Tim recommended to me Survivor, which I enjoy, and The Genius, which I enjoy. So, I mean, I feel like his love of Big
Brother.
Have, like,
you ever have you ever watched Big Brother?
I've never watched Big Brother.
Oh, my God, Brian. It's amazing.
Has Tim ever recommended Big Brother to you?
Yes. He's trying to watch
it. Apparently, in Korea, there was massive backlash over the Do Chi episode of season two. Because, man, did that guy get fucked seven ways
they
from
cheat.
Sunday.
Sounds like The
Tim,
Genius.
I've been still avoiding spoilers, but yeah, there's something that happens with the seasons that the fan base revolted on, because it was a pretty dick thing, and the fans were just did not accept what happened.
There was a weird game mechanic in one of the games that only existed for really no explicable reason, but because it existed, somebody got fucked out of the game.
What?
Like, it was like, to make a move in the game, you must be holding a pencil.
Okay.
And then somebody stole the guy's pencil.
What?
The guy left no the, reason the guy. For the rule to exist in the first place, but because it existed, this guy got reamed. And then they're like, we feel really bad about this, so we'll make it up to you. And they did not make it up to him.
If stealing a pencil isn't, like, illegal in the game, then he
They
won.
Do make a rule in Season 3, there is no stealing.
Oh, do they really?
He left it sitting on the table. Sure. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Sangmin behind the table. Or behind the door in the firing thing. Oh, Sangmin's my spirit animal now, too.
Okay.
Hung Chul and Sangmin, I can't decide which.
It's hard. Oh, yeah. I'm up to episode 10 in season 3, by the way.
Fuck you!
Well, you were catching
you
up.
You panicked.
I panicked.
Why are you so opposed to me catching up to you? Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm halfway through season 2. He's like, shit. And he watches all of season 3. Just
There's still two more to go.
That's funny.
I just want to talk to you about it.
I know. Well, we can talk about last season. The problem is, you two and Raylene...
We're watching like 5 episodes a day.
I know. And I'm busy at work, so I got to burst it when I can get ahead of you guys, because...
That's okay. Katie and I are going to just start sending Brian random updates about Big Brother.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll be giving you guys constant Game of Thrones information once it starts.
Oh, God.
I won't have access to my phone.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You'll have to email my work email. Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't think you do.
Oh, thank
you. Katie Shea at work.com.
Yes,
thank God there's Excel at accountant.net.
.net? I'm classy, man. It's a
.com.
.com. Thank God there's Excel.
So we had no zappity grumbles.
There was a couple
in
chat.
There was one at the top of the chat.
There was a couple in chat. You scroll back up, Mr.
Also, I don't know what MTG means.
Magic the Gathering.
Magic the Gathering.
Oh, okay.
So, but Nathan's done a good job watching season 2 of The Genius.
Yeah, I'll finish it tonight.
Oh.
Sangmin has been the most on the ball I've ever seen anybody be in any show ever. Like, yeah, I don't know if there's a season of Big Brother where one person just rules the house the whole time.
They bring him back and he rules the house a second time.
Fine. So, that's Sangmin in season 2 of The Genius. Okay.
It is Will.
Probably the greatest player of Big Brother ever.
There's an episode where literally everybody else still there says, we are all in alliance against Sangmin this episode. He wins that episode.
Yep.
One against everyone. Yep. And just easily, just laughing the whole time.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That does sound amazing.
Because that guy is on Tim's recommendation, we watched a specific season first as our first introduction to Big Brother, and it's the season this guy's in. And Katie and I were like, I want to watch every season of the show ever, always and forever. And he was like, all right, fine, but FYI, no one in the history of the game has ever been as amazing as him.
What? Jesus.
Fui?
He did it. He actually said FYI.
Nice.
Because I was quoting someone else.
Oh, and that person is an obnoxious shit pile.
I don't tell you, dear.
I don't either. But anyway, the show is really, really good. And it's good enough that we enjoyed Survivor also on Tim's recommendation, and we like Big Brother better. We still love Survivor, but we really, really like Big Brother.
Anyway, what's the most you've ever stabbed someone in the back in a non-hidden player game?
What is the best betrayal?
Best betrayal.
You've executed in a non-hidden role game.
That's a hard one.
I know Brian's. I think it's the best.
Well, it was simple.
Was it?
And it's elegance.
So
let's hear it.
We were playing Pirates of the Spanish Main. So it's a little card game which you had ships. You build ships out of the cards.
It's so you bought you literally bought a pack of like magic cards, but you had fold out pirate ships.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Okay,
it was really. You literally assembled 3D ships out of the cards.
And the rules for the first like two series, the first like generation was a lot of fun before they got too
complicated,
ridiculous.
Okay,
because they had to sell cards. Like there was a CCG, and so they had to sell cards.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So Jim had a. He was the pilot of the French, and he had a captain on his ship that he could execute people on his ship, just get rid of a member to take another action.
Oh.
So he would be able to, like, roll up, move, shoot.
And zoom away.
Kill somebody, shoot, and then zoom away.
Okay.
So, I mean, he was able to take, like, double actions. It was nasty.
Okay.
And we were sick of it.
Okay.
No, that's...
And the other issue was that Sean had a 5-mast ship.
The problem was Sean, Jim played a very annoying character. His character was annoying, but we still played, and Jim could still lose.
Sure.
We were getting to the tail end of the game because they added a mechanic that made a ship basically have double hit points.
Ugh.
Not only was it double hit points, he had to do X amount of damage or nothing happened, so it was a really frustrating mechanic.
Yeah.
And Sean was just destroying us with it, with his ship, so me and Jim were like, well, let's screw it, let's just...
Because he had the equivalent of, like, an Armor 30 Warjack.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So we're like, it was always a free-for-all game. We always played it free-for-all. It wasn't really teams. It was all just, you know, we'd shoot each other, see what happened. And so me and Jim decided, we've each lost half of our ships, you know, because you'd bring, like, 4 or 5 ships or whatever. You'd play, like, a 3x3 space. And we're like, well, let's get this mother. Let's just fucking take Sean out because we hate that goddamn ship. It's no fun to play against.
Sure.
So we go me and Jim were kind of, everyone was shooting each other up into the point. So Jim turns his fleet and kind of goes to get him. Mm-hmm. And then as I'm maneuvering my fleet, I realize, well, if I label up my fleet, every single one of my ships could just broadside and eliminate everything Jim has in just one fell swoop. So I move everything. I'm like, well, fuck it. And I just blow Tim up. Because Jim just exposed all of his flanks to me because we were trying to maneuver together to do a pincer action. But I was like, wow, this is just the most ridiculous thing ever. And it's like one of my few betrayals in, like, you know, decades. I'm like, well, what the heck? It's just this random nonsense
ended
game.
Jim.
And I just blow everything. And Jim did not react well to it.
No, I would imagine not.
And he's piggybacking many, I have really, over time, I've paid for it in many, many games for that one moment. But just having an entire pirate armada just expose themselves just the right way for every broad. Because when you watch a pirate, I'm on season 2 of Black Sails, and every time you like see a massive ship just broadside another ship, it's just such an something about it is just seeing cannons fire. So I had this thing. So I just did it to him, and he was so mad. And all of his ships basically just sunk all at once. And then I'm like, okay. Well, and then I lost to Sean, obviously, because we couldn't handle what was left.
Yeah,
because we needed both of us to do it. But it was worth it. That's definitely the biggest trail I ever did. It was just a dinky random game we'd play once a week for like an hour. It wasn't a hit of betrayal; just a random free for all shenanigan game.
That's funny.
The game is really awesome. It would be nice to actually have stuff from it.
We had like each of us had a binder of stuff for it. If you could play up to like whatever that double masting came out, if you just ignore that technology.
I think
part
it was
of it.
In the original set. It was just a super rare ship.
No, it was like phase 2 or 3. It wasn't true, but it was still early enough that we could have just avoided it.
Well, I don't have anything that good, so
I don't have anything that good. There was the time I portrayed Rhino in the Blood Bowl game that Liam's showing us. But
I made
that
someone cry in TI3, but it was the right pitch. It literally, like, I talked him into leaving the territory, and I'm like, let's go that way. And then I did math, and I'm like, oh, if I just move here and take their home planet, I win. So I did it.
And then you won.
And they're like, you promised you would. Yeah, but I won.
Well, Jim betrayed Nick in Game of Thrones.
Was it me? Did I cry?
No, this was some people I never saw again.
For some reason.
I don't remember the Nick betrayal.
Well, because Jim was playing the Greyjoys, and Lannister was being played by Nick, and they were like, well, "Let's team up and go take out. Let's move north." But Nick trusted Jim completely. He literally took everything from Lannisport.
Oh,
and Jim's like, well, if you're going to give me, I mean, like if there would have been left something for a fight, it would have been a risk. He wouldn't have betrayed the alliance for a thing. But
for a free territory.
I like turn one, he just gave up his home. He basically just gave away his home territory. He's like, well, I guess I'll just take that. And
I guess I'll just win.
Completely triple, you know, Nick. So that was, that's Nick amazing. Didn't react too well to that one.
No, I would imagine not.
My favorite ever was when It was Keith's friend. It was a hidden mechanic game, but he had to like give the Cylon to someone, yeah. and it was like, oh, the last
my god,
yeah,
that was Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, that
he was the only exposed Cylon.
Yeah, and he was like, here, Keith, you could lose with me on this last.
It was
turn.
Literally the last turn. This guy was holding both Cylon cards,
and for like 10 turns, we were trying to figure out who the other Cylon was because we kept saying to the guy, we're like.
Look,
if you have both, you need to give one of them away, and you need to do it now. And we did that for 10 turns in a row, which meant he couldn't have had both.
Yeah.
That's why
Katie was in the rig for 10 turns.
And that's why Katie was in the rig, because obviously Katie...
She had to be a fucking Cylon.
She had to be.
Somebody had to be.
And we're just winning the game. Like we hadn't lost a person.
Like, three dials were in blue. Three, it was insane.
Like, we were winning this game so hard. And on the last turn, the guy reveals himself as a Cylon.
It was already revealed.
Oh, he was already revealed?
Yeah, he was already revealed. Okay. He was a revealed Cylon, so at any time, he could have moved to the give your other loyalty card, because he had both Cylon cards, which is what it turned out being.
Yeah.
So for 10 fucking turns, he just didn't get
a partner.
So
the final turn, he walks over, he hands Keith the card, and then we warp and win.
It was after Keith had already moved, or had done his action.
Yeah, he gave him the card, and then the next person basically ended the game.
Yep.
The other heartbreaking BSG one was... I think this is the last time I played with you guys, but I got us to like distance 5 or 6 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like some crisis or something that gave you an extra jump. Like it was crazy. Like it increased your distance. But so I got us to the midway point. We handed out the cards. I became a Cylon. Yep. And before my next turn, the humans won.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was
like,
we played at my house.
Mathematically, that shouldn't fucking be possible.
Because I had used...
I think I was...
You were there, because I know... I remember
it
had...
It was insane!
Because I blew a special ability that let me draw a bunch of... It was like a 60-40 great maneuver card, but I just like risked everything on it, and it worked, but it just, the timing wise, screwed you so bad.
So hard.
And someone else took did my something. Turn, I became a Cylon, and I never got another turn, and I lost.
It was just the most ridiculous timing.
It was fantastic. I enjoyed that game immensely.
The most pointlessly mean betrayal I ever did was in a game called Santiago, which I don't know if any of you guys have played, but it's a very Euro game. Every turn, like, you put out a canal of water, and then you add, like, crops, and then you bid on crops, and not all the crops are next to water, so if they're not next to water, they'll start to wither, and so you need to get water to them as soon as possible, otherwise you wasted your money. And every person gets one emergency water per game, where you can just lay down an extra canal, and you do that to keep your shit alive. You know, so, like, because everybody's going to get one turn where they get boned,
sure.
And so you need that. But the game has a restriction where only one person can use it per turn.
Oh.
So the first turn of the game, I get a bid. I'm first player, and I get a decent bid, and like somebody sitting in Andy's position buys some stuff, and he's going to use emergency. Everybody else is fine.
Yep.
And I was like, all right, who wants to use emergency water? I go, I'll do it. And I just put it out in a random direction where there were no crops, meant nothing to me. I just did it so that guy could fucking die.
What?
For no reason at all. He's a really nice guy. I really like him. He's fun to play games with. But I just decided I wanted him to suffer.
Apparently.
He suffered really bad.
Oh, my God.
You're not a nice person.
Not all the time.
Yeah, I haven't done any real betrayals in games. I remember other people's betrayals. I remember the send-off party that Brian and some folks
Matt
put
Shanning?
To... No, not
Matt
Shanning.
Matt, what was his name?
It was a Matt.
It was a Matt. But, they had a four-on-four match. You know, we've always done the four-on-four match.
Four-player war machine, yeah.
Yep. Four-player war machine where you have to each have to control quadrants in the zone and, you know, whoever has the most points wins. And, it was it turned into basically an instant three-on-one.
No. It was a 2-on-1 with an innocent bystander that had no idea what was going on.
Everyone knew.
Because it was you two against him.
I wasn't there for that. I think it was Jim.
Then it was Jim then. But I was in that game and I was very confused. I'm like, all right, 4-on-1. And then those two just dogpile on him and just kicking his teeth in. And I'm like, what's happening?
We did that to a few people when they leave. Yeah. We know it's their last week. Like, so let's play a 4-player game with a send-off. And then they forget the last what happened to the last person in a 4-player game and a send-off. And
then you guys were done after that, too.
Yeah,
like, we stopped him and he's out of the game. We're done.
Yeah.
Zappity.
Rumble. I don't have anything else.
It was a question about Magic the Gathering.
Oh.
It was like, what's the if you had infinite money, would you play Magic the Gathering? Or is it the pinnacle of gaming?
No, even with infinite money...
The words don't make sense. So I have a question for you regarding Magic the Gathering. If you had infinite money to play games, in your heart of hearts, would you be playing Magic the Gathering? Despite everything, do you think it's the highest form of gaming at the moment?
That's not in computer.
I would say, to be honest with you, if I had enough money, I would probably play Magic. It's fun. I don't want to sink money into it, though.
Yeah, so drafts could be fun, you know, as like a weekly hobby thing, just $10 to do it, one of those draft
tourneys.
If I was
doing that, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I agree with that.
Well, that's why I said infinite money.
Yeah. I would never say it's the highest form of gaming. I think that's inaccurate. I think that outside of video games, it is the best way to make money playing a board game.
Well, it's not a board game.
Well, like, so yeah. If you have to categorize it, it's not a video family. Game, card games, it's not athletic, so it's a board game. It's in that family.
Yeah, but I like worker placement so much better than
I agree. I'm just saying.
You don't make money playing competitive Concordia.
Right.
Well, but he's not saying because you make money.
It's a well-designed game. It is. Magic is very, very good. If I was to play it, I would either do... If money's not the issue, I would probably do cube drafting.
My problem with Magic...
I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I know cube drafting.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
Cube drafting is you as a group of friends, you know, you're like, we're just going to do drafts, you know, whatever, and you get a specific set of cards.
Okay.
And that is now locked in stone. And when you do drafts every once in a while, and you treat it almost like a board game where you have this is the game and these are the cards and you play a draft off of it.
Well, Tony does it a little bit with, well, because Tony has his Harry Potter games.
Yeah.
But it's like a offshoot. But they've made
pre-made decks. He has his pre-made decks.
Yeah. Well, they're the dual decks. I mean, sure, they're pre-made by the company.
The cube drafting, you have your supply of cards and it's very specifically made. And you do, when you want to play the game, you do a drafting off of that cube.
Yeah, the idea is you just I believe there's no duplicates generally in cube drafting, and it's take you have as many cards as you have uniques of that you want to put in a big card box, and then you draft out of that.
My biggest thing isn't necessarily unlimited money, it's time. It's like if I was to add in different games, it wouldn't be Magic, not because I don't like it, because there's already other games I want to play more that I can't fit into my schedule already. So I would need you keep giving more unlimited time.
I actually really like Magic, but I don't like the people that play Magic.
Fair.
I would play Magic if I didn't have to play with Magic.
That's what doing cube drafting with friends
right.
is all
I used
about,
to play
right?
at lunch at work for years. When I first started working at Epic, for probably the first 3 or 4 years, I played at lunch every single day with friends, and it was fun. Well, and yeah. I was like, and then several of my friends played outside of just lunch work, and they were like, hey, you should come down to the game store. We're doing a draft. And I went down to the draft, and I wanted to murder a bunch of neckbeards and 12-year-olds, and I decided that was not the game for me.
Well, even
I would have
killed Jim traveled the world playing Magic competitively and made decent money on it. He got out of it because he just couldn't. There's such a subculture of cheating and manipulation that happens in tournaments for Magic. You just have to be willing to cheat, or if you're not going to cheat, you have to be on your guard at such a high level because there's such a rampant amount of cheating at the competitive level, which is unfortunate, but
it's because it's worth so much money.
My favorite example that Jim has given about what people would do in that game is that if you're losing, you'd be like, well, I guess you got me. And you'd kind of like, scoop your hand up into a pile and put it down. You're like, yeah, you got me, buddy.
Yeah.
And you don't technically concede, but if they think you're conceding and they pile their cards together,
they
instantly lose the game
because
you're not allowed to do that.
Once you take your lands and things and you shove them together, you've lost. But you don't do that. You just take your hand and you go, oh, man, I
you
suck.
Got me.
And then they put their stuff together and you win.
Go,
and, then you go, yeah. And then someone punches you in the face.
Yeah,
if they're mean.
But it's so commonplace.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You beat them and there's money on the line.
And there is, big money.
Yeah, because there's money, it just brings out such terrible habits. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes I'm around gamers and I feel, I don't know. And this what I like about more generations now, because gaming becomes more and more mainstay, this happens a little bit less. But for a long time, gamers always felt like, oh, man, society hates us. So we're a special subculture. So we're this elite people.
You're ripping his eyes out, you monster. Jesus. You're just clawing his face. You've been doing it the whole fucking podcast.
He's fine.
Domo.
Yeah, I just
we need a toy for Brian.
It's like freaking Get Out with the clawing of the finger.
Ah, the claw. Anyway, I don't have a star anymore.
Yeah. Well, if I could only own one game, and that's the only one I'd allowed to play, Magic would be up there as far as one to own. But playing 6 hours of Magic a week as a hobby versus playing 6 hours of two or three different board games a week, I enjoy playing two or three different board games more. And with the cost of Magic, if you're giving me infinite money, I would rather own infinite board games and play a few different ones every time.
Right.
And even not the hypothetical infinite, if I'm spending $100 a month on Magic, I would rather spend $100 a month on a new or two or three new board games, depending on the game.
Because in order to be competitive in Magic, you have to spend at least that much.
If I have unlimited money, there's a lot of cocaine and whores I need to talk to.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Do you have to
talk
to them?
No. Hollywood Hoedown.
Depends on the week. The
thing that I noticed in the question, though, is if you had infinite money to play games, so is there some way that I could use playing games to pay for everything else?
If you're good enough at Magic and you don't mind the, surviving the cheat world.
I guess if you had infinite money to play games, being able to play the game meant you didn't have to go to work.
Yeah.
Didn't have to go to
work. I mean, that comes across time. I would rather
play 8 or 9 different board games every month. I would rather...
No, I get where you're coming from.
If, like, Magic is up there as far as being the single most consistently enjoyable game. If I had to only own one, it'd be up there as a choice. But
it'll always be the example, too, of a game that ages well because their system is designed around rotating sets and the way they bring some cards back, but then they bring back new flavors every... Like, the designers of the game are some of the best game designers in the world. They are.
More than 20 years of
this game. Yeah, he did. He shoved it down to his mouth.
I need him back.
So no!
So, recommendations? I recommend we never give that to Brian again.
That's rare.
You can. I'll let you play with my bear pinky. You can roll her up because the stuffing's so packed. You just shove her face right in.
All right. That sounds terrible. I have an actual recommendation.
Me too.
All right. My actual recommendation is a game called Anachrony. I finally got around to ordering it this last week. It is a time travel worker placement resource collection game.
Yeah.
It's quite fun. The base game is $60, but it's really a $100 game because the $100 gets you the mech suits to put on the board, and I can't imagine playing the game without the mech suits.
They change nothing, are entirely unnecessary?
They're completely unnecessary, but they make the game so much more fun.
Sure.
So, Anachrony, $60 or $100, depending on your style. It's really, really fun. And once I get it, we'll have to like let you guys, because you've never played it. Well, I don't think you'd like it, but you'd like it. So we'll have to try
it. Andy watched us set it up and play it. He was at a game day when we played it once.
Okay.
My favorite part about that is we got like 3 games in of Sushi Go in the time that it took
to set it up.
Yeah. And then we were done with other games before. Yeah.
I still, once the game started, we were almost done before other games were started, but the setup and explanation on the first time of the game is
pretty depth. The game, teaching the game, it's one of the hardest games to teach of all the complicated games we've played. Because of the time travel mechanic and the way it works.
Who knew time travel? Miso has gone to sleep because we answered his question. He lives in London, so it's probably like 4 in the morning.
Oh, geez. Well, good night.
Good morning.
But midnight. It's a 6-hour difference.
It's only 6-hour difference.
He's tired. He has to work tomorrow.
Plus, they're on metric time. So
put another strip on the barbie.
Anyway, that's my recommendation. It's a game called Anachrony.
Dumber reference. It's a joke.
So,
it's a joke.
Isn't that an Austrian joke?
Yeah, that's the whole
yes
point.
Austrian.
But it's not Austrian either, which, by the way, was amazing.
That was amazing.
Yes. Yes, Jeremy. Austrian. She was right.
No, she was not.
She was right.
What?
It was an Austrian joke because he got it wrong. So you're trying to correct her to Australia, but that's the whole fucking joke.
It's been 2 decades since I've seen.
Sure. The point is, anytime you're trying to correct Katie, don't. Because you're probably not right. I recommend Dead Cells, which is, it's currently in early access. It's on Steam, although they said it'll come to Xbox and PS4 eventually. Surprise, it's a roguelike. Nathan likes roguelikes. It is a Metroidvania-style game. Specifically, it's Metroid-style whip and throwing action and stuff like that. It's very dark and gritty.
Metroid?
Castlevania. Sorry, I meant Castlevania. Metroidvania. It's Castlevania-esque. But it's a Metroidvania game, and you know, you explore, it's procedurally generated, and so it's different anytime you go in there. You die, you're dead, it's permadeath, because that's what makes it roguelike. But what's nice about it is that you can, when you strive forward, as you get to certain chests, or as you beat bosses or stuff like that, you unlock permanent upgrades, so you do get to keep some stuff. It's almost like Majora's Mask, where you have to reset, but if you manage to actually beat a temple, it stays beaten, okay. So you get that sense of progress. So, and it's, the gameplay is amazingly fashion, fresh, and fun, and it's really cool. Alternately, there's a game from like a decade ago, no, 6 years ago, because I think it was 2012, 2011, called Rogue Legacy, that's currently like $2 on sale on PS4, that's basically the same thing, but not quite as good, but it's $2 instead of $17, so at the very least, pick up Rogue Legacy, but Dead Cells is awesome.
Cool.
I haven't seen some gameplay. I've seen one of the streamers I usually watch play a lot of it. I usually avoid a lot of his other things. Enter the Gungeon is another one that... I think you would really like.
Yeah, it's that style.
But he plays that a lot. Yeah, I've seen him play some Dead Cells, so I'll have to check it out as well.
You should. Rogue Legacy is a lot like Shovel Knight, graphic style and whatnot. But it's the similar thing. It's a procedurally generated Castlevania-style castle, and then when you die, you know, you unlock stuff to make your next person better. So it's progress, progress, progress.
Sure. Anybody else?
I don't have any recommendations this week.
All right. Mine, you guys got to leave here pretty quick. So my recommendation is...
We got seven minutes.
It's a soft recommendation. I would say Castlevania on Netflix.
Okay.
Series just came out. It's only four episodes for it. It's only 23 minutes per episode, so you can get it done, you know, fairly quickly.
Season two got an extended order, so season two will be longer.
Yep, it will be much longer. It's in the same vein as like any standard anime that you've seen.
Vampire Hunter D.
No. But
so apparently not then.
Well, I mean, if, like, what I mean by standard anime is like some of the characters' motivations seem a little off, I guess. I don't know.
That's a standard anime thing?
At least from what I've seen.
Were they too young?
No. No.
That reminds me, Nathan, did you see that they're doing a Miyazaki, like all the Miyazaki movies at...
This month is Delivery Service. Mm-hmm. Last month was Spirited Away, I think.
I believe you. I just saw the poster there. Yeah. I was like, oh, I got to mention that to Nathan.
Looking forward to Porco Rosso and Howl's Moving Castle.
But pretty much the storyline for Castlevania centers around... beginning. Well, yeah, it's kind of Dracula, obviously. But it seems like it's kind of like a mixture of Symphony of the Night beginning and a Dracula 3, or
the
Castlevania 3.
The thing to me about the Castlevania series is the first thing that happened on my Facebook wall regarding it was Brian Dugas said it was the worst thing he's ever seen in his life. He just spewed hatred and vile.
Correct.
Like the Exorcist pea soup vomit while his head was spinning around. It was like it had just raped and killed his parents. And then everybody else was like, yeah, this show's really good. I'm curious why he hated it so much.
Actually, his post made me think of like maybe I should not watch this. I watched it. It was fine. It was, you know, it was cliche.
I value people's opinions, but when you get like one person who doesn't like something, and you get a bunch who say they like it. It's like, well, like you have the numbers don't line up here. So, and if I'm interested enough, I'll give it a chance. Like,
right, I'm at that point now, but for a while, he was 100% of the reviews I had read about it, and so I wasn't sure where to go.
Yeah, and that's fair. I am going to recommend that if you have a PlayStation, you should download Until Dawn this month. It's free. Like the last 3 months, if you don't do it, you're a fucking moron.
Yeah, and the Game of Thrones Telltales is the other free one.
Which is also very good. If you have to pick one free game to download, I'd do Until Dawn. But if you have room for two, which you should because they're free, you should get them both.
I had to delete some old games to make room for my games. But, you know, that's how it works.
You just add them to your library. You don't have to download them.
Yeah.
No, I deleted the stuff that I'm like, oh, I haven't played this in, you know, has been like 4 or 5 months since I've played, you know, a certain game. I just took it off.
Yeah.
Because I can always re-download them. And the save files aren't deleted, just the game itself.
You can delete the save files, but if you just delete the game, it's fine.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't delete save files, but I definitely delete a game. Sometimes, like yesterday, Saints Row 4 glitched out on me twice, so I deleted it. Like, fuck you. You're going into timeout.
How is your Shadows of Mordor going? Because I know you bought that. I
installed it. I've been playing a lot of Rogue Legacy.
I feel bad for myself because I should like roguelike games, but I've now bought 5 different roguelikes and none of them suck me in. And I'm beginning to think they're not for me.
Yeah.
But on paper, they should be. And everything about, like, you talk about them, like, that sounds amazing. I go play it. I'm like, ugh. And then I'm like, why?
That's it requires story. A lot of time for roguelikes sometimes.
Even nice, I mean, well, I put $100 into Witcher. I'll put 1,000 hours into things. I mean, I put 120 hours into Friday the 13th. Like, the time isn't an issue. It's just, I don't know what it is. A couple of, like, Halcyon 6, I actually liked quite a bit. I just didn't go back to it, but I actually like that roguelike.
You played a lot of FTL, didn't you? You had it on your iPad.
I played a little bit of it, but not enough to really suck myself in.
My only issue with FTL is that the last boss is insanely dumb, and there's a sudden difficulty spike when you get to the last boss.
Ah, that always annoys me in games.
Yeah, that was dumb.
It's nigh unbeatable. Well, whatever.
And somebody was asking in the chat, when is our next death ride
to Canada?
To Canada.
It's on the iPad now. I almost bought it, but I didn't.
The game is actually a lot of fun. It was a bit more difficult when Nathan couldn't handle terrain.
I thought I could climb over a hill, and that hill was impassable terrain, and then I got eaten by zombies.
Well, there you go.
It was not clear to me that was impassable rubble.
It was.
I thought I'd go half speed. I went zero speed, and then I died.
You guys are in that game, too.
Are we? You create characters for us?
Yep, yeah. Created everybody in there.
Nice.
I was a dog, and then I sold my soul to the devil and became a dog man. True story.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we need to do that again. That was fun.
First, we need to watch all the Star Trek movies.
Yeah, we need to plan that. Oh, I need to.
We're going to watch all the Gorilla movies.
the gorilla movies.
Planet of the Apes.
I would like to watch that before.
I don't know.
We're talking about movies right now. We should probably call it.
Anyway, folks. Goodbye, folks.
Oh, and thanks everyone again for.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Especially that one guy.
Poor Domo needs eye surgery now.
He's fine. I don't know what to
look. They're all sad.
Give him here. Let me take a
photo. No.